I'm going to officially patent. Is it patent?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm going to patent those McLees.
The McLees were sensational. If you're in that last chaotic pod, apologies, because it was a fucking mess.
We literally just sat here just now.
It was quite reflective of Chelsea, though.
Yeah, it was. We were like, oh, we didn't talk about this.
It was every fucking where.
Didn't talk about this. I did want to talk about one thing, though, mm-hmm. right? I am absolutely boycotting walkabouts, right? I'm going to burn as many barbecues as I can, and there's going to be no shrimp on any fucking barbecues, right? Because Jared Gillet, or Gillette, whatever his fucking name is,
he's not the best the Prem can get.
No.
In fact, maybe he is, because they are all shit.
I'm sorry, how can you end the first half of extra time a minute and 30 early? What time zone are you in? Is this PGMO plus 1 minute 30? Like, what is it?
I don't think he's aware of the concept of the fourth official will be indicated a minimum of 3 minutes added time, and then you check VAR for 1 minute of it, and then you blow it 46:52. It doesn't make any fucking sense.
It's ridiculous. But anyway, he's my new nemesis.
Yeah, he's got him and Taylor, man.
And I hate him more than I hate Anthony Taylor now.
I swear to God, if I was in a room with Anthony Taylor, Gillet, the worst the Prem can get,
yeah,
Hitler, Fritzl, and let's say
Jimmy Savile,
maybe Tom Masters, depending on the outcome. If I had 5 bullets, I would shoot Hitler, Fritzl, and Tom 5 times. Oh, wait, no, we're wrong way around. Sorry.
You've ruined your own punchline. That is shit.
Yeah, all right, okay, a bit slow from the beers.
You just tried to Michael Scott it. I could hear it. You're going, if I was in a room with Toby, Hitler, and this guy, I'd shoot Toby 3 times.
Pretty much. But yeah, basically, I would blast them in the face 5 times. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is all hypothetical, guys.
And we're saying this purely because, you know, we can't use our dedicated C-bomb. For the season yet.
Or our M charges.
Yeah, or that.
I'm not my dedicated M charge for the season.
there is that. M charges. But anyway, also on him, right? You tell me a good bloke in the world called Jared. How many Jareds do you know that are actually sound?
Yeah, I mean, the Subway guy came out. He was like some sort of sex pest or something, wasn't he?
Yeah, and then
Bowen scores goals against us quite a bit.
I mean, yeah, but he's a bit annoying.
Yeah, so I'm saying he's a bit annoying. He is shagging Danny Dyer, though, fair play.
Yeah, it's fair. But who calls their son Santiago, right? He's from...
Well,
that's my
fucking grandkid you're talking about.
It's Danny Dyer or Santiago.
You what, Gills?
A couple of sorts. I watched The Business for the first time the other night.
Oh, my God, what a film.
It's so bad.
What? No, what it's a film. Awful.
Music's great.
The music is impeccable. Tamar Hassan is the man.
Tamar Hassan the man.
Okay, the bit where the guy's head's on a stick, is that not... That's good.
I mean, I was on my phone. I looked up and I saw this guy's head on the stick.
No, you half watched it then. You got to get into the business.
I tried. It's only 6 days left on Amazon Prime. So I thought, fuck it.
Yeah, I watched it on Prime the other month. I hadn't watched it in years, and I forgot how much I enjoy that film.
It's like, are we going to? I think that's Halloween. Should we just dress as the guys from The Business?
Oh, no, we can do better than that. We can do better than that.
I went to Tony Soprano last year. I bought a velour tracksuit for a joke, and now I wear it all the time. I'm actually wearing it right now.
That's mad.
Yeah, how amazing does this tracksuit...
Classically.
How good does this tracksuit look right now, though?
Yeah, Lee's got the pompadour and everything with it. he's gone full Lee today.
After cooking those McLees, I thought, you know what?
Sausage and egg McLee did bang. But, mate, let's get back to The Business, because obviously it's a Chelsea podcast, so let's talk about The Business.
The film or The Business?
The film, The Business.
Welcome to Chelsea Echo, where we don't talk about Chelsea.
There's so many good bits in that. There's so many good quotes. What is it Danny Dyer says? And he's like, what else am I going to fucking do? But that's from Football Factory.
No, but he does it in that as
He does it in that, doesn't he? He goes like...
Well, this came out... Did it come out
spunk
after...
wages on kebab fruit machines and brasses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's Football
Wait,
Factory.
That's Football Factory. So what's the difference? The quote in this one is...
My dad said to stay away from women and drugs.
Crime, women and drugs.
I fucking did it all when I walked away in the sunset. Fuck off, mate.
Oh, it's good though.
Oh, mate. See that?
And the ending's good.
Yeah, ending's
when
good.
When he kills Charlie. I think it's Charlie.
Yeah.
That nutcase.
So I love the way that everyone
and
just
the
ruined
bird,
it.
The bird, yeah, yes. If you haven't seen The Business, from 2005.
Can I just say, right? I did, you know, when you watch something, you just do that, you hit Wikipedia. It's like, I'm just going to have a little look.
Yeah.
She was married to Harvey Weinstein.
Oh, blimey. Fair.
I looked at it, I was like, right, okay, that's interesting. That's interesting, gonna put this away now. That was...
I didn't realize as well. And what's his name? Zebedee is also in the film.
Is he?
Yeah, Zebedee fucking D. He is. He's in the film. He's in Football Factory and he's in that. He's in that as their mate who they get to go to do stuff with the Spanish bloke.
Oh, him. Zebedee's in that as well.
She is... you know, I'm not going to say fair play Harvey Weinstein, but she's a very attractive woman.
She is. She's a model. She owns a fashion label now.
Well, if you want to come on the pod.
Love it, yeah.
Lady from the business.
Yeah.
You're more than welcome.
Let's get down to business and talk about Chelsea, though.
Boo.
Yeah. I do want to say, the other tangent, right? Speaking of the film The Business, where they wear like the weird Steelers jumpers. Right,
they do look quite cool, though.
They do, but then
they're
Jared,
just proper like
Essex boys. Yeah, but it's like, it's 1980, so it kind of fits, right? Anyone who wears a gilet now, or is called, he's called Jared Gillette, right? But I'm going to call him Jared Gillet, right? A gilet is the most pointless piece of clothing on this planet.
It's a fashion item, isn't it, though?
It's pointless. Yeah. It's futile.
Your body is warm, but what of your arms?
Exactly. Mm. And your arms can get cold.
It's a vest jacket.
Yeah, why would you do that?
Yeah.
Just wear a vest or wear a jacket. Don't wear a vesty jacket.
No, I don't think you're wrong. I think they look quite cool, though, sometimes.
No.
Some outfits are quite cold with them. No, your arms are cold, but the outfit looks cold as well.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. If you ever see me in a gilet, I want you to shoot me in the head.
But those bullets you reserved for Tom. They're not very Italian, are they, though?
No, you never catch me in a gilet.
No.
I refuse to wear them.
Actually, I don't know. I feel like Italians would wear a gilet. It's quite a fashionable country.
I mean,
I could see, Totti wearing a gilet.
No, he'd just wear a really thin coat.
No, he'd wear a really classy gilet.
There's no such thing as a classy gilet.
I disagree.
I mean, this guy's called Jared Gillette, a really, really annoying bloke. No
Skepta
one knows called
cool
Jared.
In a gilet.
And he's called Gillette. I mean,
me and Skepta, similar people.
Hang.
Both wordsmiths of a generation. And Lee Smiths.
Lee Smiths. Fucking hell. Lee Smith's more of a whiz in the kitchen, I think, than a wordsmith, though.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, I've cooked up a storm now in two pots.
You have, and we've cooked up a big old fucking storm at Chelsea.
We have, and it's not
it's
a very
always
nice
raining.
Storm. It's not, and obviously we're planning. This is now your Brighton preview, which is what this is supposed to
Brighton.
Be. Which is I'm not gonna lie, I did have a little smile on my face when they lost to AEK Athens. That kind of did film with a little tinge.
I find
of
it
joy.
Sad though. Do you not? I just didn't care. And in a way, I'm like, I actually have a bit element of respect for Brighton in terms of what they've built. They've got this amazing data and everything, and the fact that they're in Europa League is impressive in itself. But I saw so many of our fans kind of being over the moon at Brighton losing. I was kind of like, is that where we're at? Is that really where we're at? We need to remember who the fuck we are. Why do we care about
mine's,
Brighton results?
Mine's because I just...
Palace care about Brighton results.
I don't care about Brighton results. I just don't like the way... Again,
I don't like the media loving, but like, I get it. They play good football.
No, but I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about, so again, when we're with our new friend, Simon Johnson, we're going to keep dropping the fact that Simon Johnson knows what the Chelsea Echo is and you guys have only just started listening to it. You know, Simon Johnson loves the Echo.
Confirmed.
We were talking about it, and he was saying, like, what doesn't make sense with Brighton is the fact they've got this, the higher ups have this weird thing that Chelsea like giving them money. And what I don't like is how Todd Boehly, he was like, oh, we've got a very good relationship with Brighton, right? But then Brighton just take the piss out of us all the time. Yeah. So, like, when Caicedo could have, Tony Bloom going, he could have gone to Liverpool, you know, a club with fantastic history, lots of trophies, yeah, but he wanted to go to Chelsea. I'm like, Tony, we just basically, your stadium cost £92 million. We just paid off your entire stadium. Like, behave yourself. Yeah. Like, you need to, like, Brighton are very much feel like a sort of club which I know people are saying it's very unlikely.
They're the hot thing, aren't they?
They're the hot thing. They feel like Stoke, you know, under Mark Hughes or Fulham under Hodgson. No,
they feel more to me like Southampton under Pochettino, actually, funny enough.
Well, there is that, yeah.
With your Van Dijks and your Mahrez, and they're like, wow, look at all these players. And eventually, when all the big clubs pick out all these players, you can't keep finding gems.
Exactly.
Because other people's scouting recruitment, hopefully ours, has gone up to the point that others will pick up on these gems and then what you're left with. Like, they will be, you know, they're in a really good period. But it will come tumbling down.
Exactly.
And Brighton will be Brighton again at some point. But at the moment, they look a lot better than we do.
Yeah, and that's the really annoying thing. And I think I've kind of already come to terms with the fact that on Wednesday...
Despite buying their players.
Oh, mate.
You say take the piss as well. Billy Gilmore for £8 million. What do you mean? What do you mean 8 million for 8 million?
What, just go back and buy him for like 126?
But we all knew Billy Esther was a good player.
Oh, but Billy, I mean, the one thing I'll always criticise Tuchel for I don't think his talent ID was great.
No, the fact that we, instead of just playing Billy, had Saul and Zakaria on loan is not a sensible decision.
No, it didn't make sense. And it's you know, we were saying, well, good, we needed to bring in a midfielder, need to bring a midfielder. And it was a panic buy last minute with Zakaria, or panic loan, sorry.
Mm.
But it's like the whole situation, like right now, like Brighton have built a great side, credit to them. Listen,
they play good football, man. They play good football. They're a good watch, Brighton.
Yeah, I enjoy it. Obviously, I know De Zerbi years ago. So he got, obviously, in terms of local teams in Italy, where my family
was. Sassuolo, he was at.
Sassuolo, yeah. So Sassuolo's like 25 minutes down the road. My granddad actually had, or nonno, for those people.
No, Sassuolo was in Milton Keynes.
Sassuolo's in Milton Keynes. No, but like, so Sassuolo is a bit like, in terms of like the town. And sort of like how it is almost a bit like MK. So like,
oh, is it quite newly built?
It's newly built. It's just very industrial. Like there's not a lot there, and obviously the structure of it in terms of quality of football.
Mm.
When De Zerbi took over at Sassuolo, it was almost like Bournemouth when they first came to the Premier League.
Right, quite
like no money, nothing. Like really poor side, but you see him build this team, fantastic side. Now a mainstay in the Serie A, and then obviously he's gone on Shakhtar, did really well with them. Brought the world Mikhailo Mudryk, and I know we said in the last episode, he's going to be a very good player.
Yeah.
And De Zerbi, because there's a lot of value in a player like that as well. You know, he's a fantastic coach. He lives and breathes football. You know, that he was Adam Lallana was talking about it the other day, and he was saying that, you know, his family is still in Italy, De Zerbi.
Mm.
So him and his coaches have a private chef, and then every fucking night they're just tactics, going through the football, living and breathing it.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a great thing for De Zerbi. De Zerbi's a very good fit for Brighton.
Yeah, I mean, even Pep adopted, I was reading, like, Pep was talking about in an interview, but some of his build-up play from the back last season, he made a switch based on what De Zerbi was doing. Because, like, Pep, that's what's so good about Pep. Pep's always learning and evolving. That's why he's the best that he is.
Yeah.
Because he never stops. He never sits on his laurels and goes, oh, I've made it now. I'm great. Like, there's always evolution that we made tactically. But, like, De Zerbi was one of his inspirations for a part shift in what City did last season.
Yeah, I do feel that with De Zerbi, he's a good fit for those sort of clubs. Like I've mentioned, you know, Shakhtar, Sassuolo, Brighton, their sides, which are, you know, they're not elite, but they're those sides which are just thereabouts, which he can mould and make that bit better and won't have the pressure of being an elite coach. I don't think if you put him in...
Because a lot of people think he'll get the City job after Pep. And I'm like,
I could see it happening, but I don't think, I just think the mentality is different.
Yeah.
I think that's where I think Potter fell down with Chelsea. Potter's a good coach.
Oh yeah. Like even I would have my doubt if Ange had come into us, and we know how like Spurs have looked very good and their build up play is very good and they're playing good football, got a good result against Arsenal yesterday. If Ange had come into us, would his ideas have been implemented as quickly? Would the expectation be a lot higher? Yeah. So, yeah. Would it have the same level of success that Spurs have had so far this season?
Absolutely not.
No, I don't think it would.
But this is it. It's like, I think there's different levels. And this isn't us criticising, saying we think De Zerbi's not an elite coach. I think he's absolutely.
No, it's just, the expectations of different clubs. Yeah. There's different level of pressure. There's different level of eyes on it.
Yeah. I mean, even to put it in terms for us, you know, we're a pretty good Chelsea podcast, I'd say, right? Mm. But if you want to get serious analysis or different levels and very serious, you don't listen to us. We're not the right fit for you.
Well, I think we offer everything.
We do offer everything, but we take the piss a bit more. But if you want to have like really serious, you might go listen to somebody else and it'd be exactly. That's fine. It's like De Zerbi's like, he's maybe not the best fit for certain clubs. But look, Brighton, him, they've found a match made in heaven.
As a barber, what do you think of his spiky hair?
Right. I always talk about this to my dad, right? Roberto De Zerbi looks like, so in the...
He reminds me of, you know, do you know when you go on holiday and there were those penguin ice creams?
With yeah,
the
red
spiky
hair.
That's kind of...
So he's doing it to hide his bald spot. So I know his barber. I had a chat with his barber about this. He has one fade. The thing is, I've got a lot of friends in Brighton. So there's a barber shop in on the Fulham Road called IS Barbers. They've got their first shop in Brighton as well. Fantastic barber shop. And then Gusta, which is, if you follow me on Instagram, whenever I'm back home in Tunbridge Wells, in my family, that's where I always go, right? They've got a Gusta in Brighton they opened a couple of months ago. De Zerbi's now a regular. It's great. So I can pop into Gusta and see Roberto De Zerbi. The lads are fucking, like, they love their football. So they're like, oh my God, like, we love this. It's fantastic. But yeah, with De Zerbi, he looks like, right, every single stereotypical Italian bloke that sells dodgy shit off the back of a van in a market. I was, me and my dad were talking, we were literally watching the game the other day, and we just like, so in there's a the village where my family are from, there's like always like this really dodgy market. Like it's a Sunday market, pretty standard. Right, yeah, yeah. It'd be like, it's like think Chapel Market, but it's fucking Italy. So it's like you go down there. He looks like every bloke who sells dodgy for a pair of shirts. I love it. It's so funny. Because like he's like that or a vape shop.
Right.
But he's doing it to cover that he has no hair on his crown.
Well, there you go. You heard it here first. We do exclusives.
Exactly. Boom. You don't just get news with the Chelsea. You don't just get comedy.
And waffle.
You get style tips.
Insights. Insights as to why he spikes his hair
up. You have a man sat in a velour tracksuit talking about...
Yeah. Yeah, I'm walking here.
Literally, deserve. He's got dodge trim. Yeah, I mean, I need a trim and a beard trim, so I'll be heading to my barbershop to do that later this week, which would be nice.
Brighton, how do we feel? Does Jackson, is Jackson able to play this one?
Yeah, so we touched on this with Gary.
Yeah, we did.
Gary's
a
fountain of knowledge of this sort
Gary
of stuff.
He's a fountain of knowledge in all aspects of life, but he's, we've been informed, so.
Yeah,
the five yellow cards actually only applies to Premier League, so we actually lose him for a Premier League game
yeah.
rather than this one. I'd rather have lost him for this one. I don't really care too much about the Carling Cup.
Yeah, it seems like him.
And it is the Carling Cup to me. Yeah. It always will be.
Always will be, yeah. Always, like, the Milk Cup it was at one point, remember? That was a fun conversation. Milk Capital Cup, Coca-Cola Cup, Capital One, Carabao.
Worthington.
Shit. Was the Worthington at one point?
Worthington was just before Carling, I believe.
Blimey.
Or was it ever Coca-Cola? No,
it was Coca-Cola Cup, yeah.
I thought it was just Coca-Cola Championship.
No. Oh, those were the days.
Yeah, mate. Barclays and the Coca-Cola. Like, they were cooking.
That's it. I remember being little, you'd wake up, you'd watch the match of the day, because you weren't allowed to stay up and watch the night before. You'd watch match of the day in the morning.
I remember my first match of the days, actually, on videotape.
First match of the day.
No, genuinely. My first match, whenever they were. I remember because like, this was when Rooney was at Everton scoring against Seaman.
Yeah.
But my dad would tape them on video.
For you to watch the next day?
For me to watch the next day.
That's great. I like it. Yeah. So
that's how old I am.
My godmother used to do that with me. But I remember there was like, we had one tape which we'd recorded of Doctor Who constantly. But then it would always go halfway through into the final match of the day of the season when Charlton went down. So I think it was the episode of Doctor Who, right?
So 06. I got out, you know, when I jumped off of Doctor Who, that would have been Tennant, wouldn't it?
It was Tennant. It was right. The first episode with you.
I never got Tennant because the only time I ever watched Doctor Who, or like a full series of Doctor Who, was Christopher Eccleston. And when he died or regenerated, I wasn't very aware of the concept at the time. I was so sad that I was like, well, I'm not watching it again.
Oh, mate, but David Tennant was the best one. They specifically brought David Tennant back because the series has been dying.
Didn't they bring Eccleston back as well?
No, I don't think. Well, maybe for one like special, but they've actually brought him back, David Tennant, for a little bit.
The dude from the thick of it as well at some point, didn't they?
Yeah, Peter Capaldi. Yeah. I love Peter Capaldi. So
I like
funny.
The thick of it. It's funny.
But yeah, but you missed out. Karen, that was where Karen Gillan first made her name.
I don't know who that is.
The girl that plays Nebula.
Billy Piper was my...
Billy Piper.
Her and Eccleston were my like Doctor Who series, and then I was out.
Yeah, no, you missed out on the redhead girl that's in
Catherine Tate.
No, not Catherine Tate.
Catherine Tate was in Doctor Who.
She was in Doctor Who, but
she?
Karen Gillan was in it with Matt Smith. As well, she's the one that plays Nebula in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay,
hot Scottish redhead, mate.
Fair enough.
Yeah. But yeah, it's.
But anyway, Brighton.
Yeah, sorry. I'm just thinking.
How did we get there?
I'm just thinking about Karen Gillan.
No, I know. How
I'm a bit preoccupied.
Match of the day to Doctor Who. Okay, yeah, that's it. I'm tracking it back. But yeah, we're going to be missing him. We're going to be missing Malagusto, obviously. I can't see. I mean, I didn't as much as I didn't think it was a red card. I don't think they'll overturn it because they're bastards. So I don't know because Reece James isn't there. So who are they going to play at right back? Disasi sort of played there.
I reckon it'll be Disasi. So that means you're going to see.
He's grown on me, Axel.
Yeah,
I have to admit, I know we're having shit results, but I'm watching him and I'm like, no, I'm okay with
him. He's
you.
A little bit of a Rudy, I feel. I can see that in him.
There,
yeah.
There's a presence as well.
Yeah, yeah. So, like I was saying, I'm going to say it every episode because I just love it so much. When your centre backs are going, you need to be killers. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, they do.
That's my guy.
I agree with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not waffling. You're like, no, they do. Well done, mate. Well done for saying it.
Yeah, but it's like him being there. I think you're probably going to see what. It'll be Robert Sanchez, De Sassi at right back.
I reckon that Petri Dish might play.
Petri.
He might play Petri. I'll take me a minute. Petri. Sancho's been good. He should have done better for the Villa goal, but he was still good yesterday. Yeah, aside
think,
from that,
I think
it's just it's a shame he let himself down with that goal.
I think that the worry is that the fact that we're having to say our keeper's the best player, and that's really, really, really making me worry.
2 weeks on the trot, yeah.
That's a bit like fuck.
It is, but it's also probably because we have extra PTSD from Popadom hands in the past.
Yeah.
So perhaps there's an element of like we're just appreciative to see a keeper with hands.
Yeah, it is.
Like,
that's fair. That shot, was it Luca Dean or John McGinn from the corner?
Dina had a shot volley from a corner. Yeah. And Zaniolo had a shot as well in the first half where you're like, what a mate. He's got arms.
If that was Kepa, we losing that. Like we lose yesterday 3-4-0. Yeah, yeah.
Especially the one outside the box. Unsavable it would have been. Yeah. We'd have heard how unsavable that was. But I think Petrovic might play, but we'll see.
I mean, so a bit Petrovic or Sanchez. Petrovic or Dirty Sanchez.
I think he'll play Chilwell or Cucurella at left back, and he might play Cole at centre back.
Yeah, he's going to have to.
With Badia Shields back, though, he was on the bench, wasn't he, yesterday? So
I doubt he'll start
Badia Shields.
The thing is, right, because we're so poor in the league, right, I do feel that maybe the Carabao Cup could be an opportunity. I know we're playing Brighton, so it's like incredibly unlikely there is going to be a big opportunity. But it feels like something where, you think about Mourinho's first season where he was saying, you go, you try and win the Carabao Cup, that sets you up for the rest of the year.
Yeah, or is it Birmingham where they won the Carabao Cup and they went down?
I mean, it's not going to be that, hopefully.
No, it's not going to be that bad. No.
But, you know, it's a case of you have that.
Yeah, it builds a bit of momentum. Wins don't hurt, do they? They're not going to hurt the atmosphere.
No,
they'd
exactly.
be nice. I would like some wins.
That's it. It's like we get that done, we move forward, we go from there. We're going to be seeing, obviously, Brighton fans, I've noticed, talking a lot about the fact there's a lot of rotation in that Brighton.
I would imagine so, because they've got Europe and they've got the league. And I imagine they want to go as far as possible in Europe, because they're in Europe. They're probably, this is the one where they're probably like, we can throw this more to the side. The FA Cup, Europa League and Premier League.
Oh, yeah.
This one's the one that they'll be like, we can leave this one a bit. Yeah. So they will rotate heavily, but they rotate heavily against United and they smashed them.
That's true.
You don't know with them.
Realistically, I'm not expecting much at all.
I don't expect it. My expectations
I'm struggling
are
to shift
floor,
spare,
man.
Which is always fun. I had someone take it and then untake it, then someone else take it and not take it. So I've now got two tickets and I've got one spare, so I'm trying to shift that. That's not a call to action on the pod, by the way. As much as I love you guys, I don't really want to be sitting with a random at the football with one of my tickets.
Unless you send in a sketch of Lee Smith. If you send that in, then you get the ticket.
I think about it.
That's a good deal, I think.
I think about it.
If it's a good sketch.
Yeah, that and the face value, because I ain't paying for your ticket for free.
Yeah, of course.
You know? Because we do need to do some giveaways at some point.
Mm.
Yeah, it's definitely nothing to do with the fact that we just need to do some marketing. It's just, you know, we're really, really nice guys and want you guys to, you know, get nice things. Nothing to do with the fact that we want to make ourselves a bigger podcast.
That's actually really... I never even deep it when people do all those giveaway stuff, because I'm like, fuck, fair, you're giving away quite a big stuff. But usually it's like, well, the profit you're getting from doing that.
Yeah, but so it's like, guys, if you could just follow this account,
if
please.
If you RT this, you're like, oh, what, as in get you out there more? Yeah, sure. Fucking hell. I feel like they don't even pick winners of those things. I think it's like a myth.
I always did. When we did it 100% Chelsea, I always picked a winner. I'd always go through it.
Oh, no, I know, but as in whenever I see those posts, I never follow up the conclusion of them when they announce the winner. So I just assume, I'm like, does everyone just do these and just never pick anyone?
Imagine. There are some people that...
I reckon that happens. I reckon that does happen. Or they pick a mate.
Yeah.
I reckon that does happen.
Yeah. It's one of those where it's just like, fuck.
But we wouldn't do that. You like that. So if you are a listener, don't worry. Some presents will come at some point.
We'll have a chat. We need to brainstorm.
Maybe like a haircut. Oh, that'd be sick.
You could
do a free thing where like, if we did like our best drawing, the best drawing would get a free trim.
I'm up for that.
That's quite cool.
I'm up for that.
Yeah, you'd have your hair cut courtesy of Lee Smith himself after drawing him impeccably.
And to be fair,
that's quite a cool thing to do.
Yeah. To be fair, Tom is very happy with his trim of the day.
Oh mate, he did a good job. Tom had a bit of a mess going on and tidied it up.
Yeah.
Just looked a lot more sharp.
He's going to have to dress. He's just going to try and grow it out now. He said, I think Tom's going to really rock long hair.
Yeah, he's got that Conor Gallagher.
Yeah. It's not really good, but he's going to grow that now for about 6 months, and I've just got to maintain it.
Yeah.
But anyway, speaking of trims, and you know, we've done Deserby, we've done that. But yeah, we'll do the best Lee Smith thing, gets a free haircut. And
that would be cool.
I'm up for that. That's
and,
all right.
And you'd be featuring in the content if you.
Yeah, come. We do it in the shop. I'll speak to my mate. So, by the way, guys, if you want to go to a really cool barbershop that's just opening, you'll be seeing me there a lot. I won't be working. I will be working there, but not as a barber. I'll just be in the corner doing work, because that's how I operate.
In the corner, wanking.
Yeah, sadly. Go to Urban Route in Angel, so you can see us all there.
They've paid us for that plug.
Yes, yes. they pay us. So to be fair, it's a guy I trained with who started a barbershop.
Right.
And he's like, honestly, we talk about work great. Like some things, just like it's not. I'm saying it's my mate because I know him, obviously. But like having seen what he's done, like he's got the keys to the shop last week, and it was like an old cafe, and he's already gutted it. He's opening it in 2 weeks. It's like, what the fuck? Like, that's mad.
Well, someone who did gut everything very quickly was our owners.
Yes, indeed. And we do have words for them, and I'm very, very slow. Well, why do they not just buy Brighton? Because we're doing a Brighton preview, right?
Yeah, they've got everything from Brighton. They do love Brighton, don't they?
So this is it. It's like the going back to a toxic ex. It's like, do you know that joke that Joe Rogan did on his like Netflix special a few years ago? It's like talking about going from Obama to Donald Trump.
Mm.
So, you know, he's got a very stable, calm relationship. Now you're shagging a hooker in your convertible, snorting cocaine, listening to Motley Crue.
The problem was,
that's what it's like right now.
Under Roman, we did have chaotic periods. Like, they did happen. We did have chaos, but chaos always, it always led to success and then more chaos and then success. Like, we had this toxic, volatile situation that we all loved, like no one's against it, but we all had an understanding that like sometimes you'd be like, what the fuck is going on at this club? 2 months later you're lifting Europa League or Champions League, like that was just how Chelsea worked.
This is like last
the problem
year
with what they've come in with this, don't worry, this is all over the years, this project's for years, it's future, etc. It's instilled that like it hasn't got the knack or the need to win now.
Yeah, there's that's a problem.
It's eroded the culture that Roman created in terms of, you can have all this chaos, but you better fucking deliver me some trophies. You better deliver me some wins, and that means trophies as a result. Whereas they've eroded that aspect and kept the chaos. So all it is now is just chaos.
Yeah, it's like when we played Real Madrid last year, people like still had the feeling that Chelsea was still there.
Mm.
Where it's like, you know what? Like, we've played really poorly in the first leg, but I've got a funny feeling. You know, we'll play well, and when we'll beat them, there's something there. Then N'Golo Kante as your centre forward. It's like the whole situation at Chelsea right now.
It's just not Chelsea.
It's the fact that I get they want to put their own stamp on things, but at the same time, it's sort of, if you took Chelsea at the time when they came in, realistically, you didn't need to change too much.
You didn't need to do that much.
It's a bit like
I said to Louis yesterday, and we'll put this out there for the viewers, and I thought this was a really fair question. So they spent £1 billion, right? 105 of it's on Enzo, so that leaves you £895.
Uh-huh.
£895 million. Would it not have been better spent to just have given Levy £900 million for Harry Kane and got Enzo? Would we be a better club right now?
Yeah. Absolutely.
But
would
you know
be.
How fucking ridiculous that sounds? And the thing is, I don't think I'm wrong. Yeah, you might have given Tottenham 900 million, so Tottenham would be a lot better than they are, you'd imagine, or Levy's pockets would be a lot bigger.
They wouldn't be. He'd pocket most of it. Or to be fair, Joe Lewis would be giving it to a lot of his people for, you know,
we shouldn't comment on that too much, just because that's an ongoing process, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, sorry. We can't comment on ongoing processes.
Alleged
court appearances and stuff. We can't comment on those.
Either way, Daniel Levy would have been a very happy man receiving 900 million for Harry Kane. However, we would have got Harry Kane and Enzo for the price of what we've bought Enzo and everyone else with. And we'd have, I think we went through the team, it would be
Kepa
or Mendy.
Kepa or Mendy.
Thiago, you'd probably still have Dave there and Reece and I guess Chalobah. Because like, we've got a discount, like all your Fofanas and your Koulibaly's and everything. None of them would have come.
Okay, maybe we'd be better, but it'd be a case of...
You'd be a bit like, oh, we're a bit fucked for the future, but we spent £900 million on Kane.
It'd be early doors Liverpool almost, where it's like...
But either way, okay, you could have spent £300 million on him and had Enzo and Fofana and a few... You know what I mean?
It's nuts. I still don't understand why we spent £70 million.
I think that's the thing. I get what they're going for. We're not seeing it right now. I get what they're going for. I get what they wanted to do or will want to do. But it doesn't fucking matter in the sense that to spend what they've spent and take us where we are is impressive how bad that is. It's impressive.
It's awful.
It's active self-sabotage.
No, it is. It is. It's
hard to do, mate. Football's not that complex. Yeah. You could have come in the club and go, oh, we want a couple young wonder kids. We would like our Enzo. We'd like our Modric. Even some of the other, like Chukwuemeka. You get a couple of them, and then you go, okay, now we'd like Madison, we'll take Tony.
On paper...
Or Mitrovic. Mitrovic would have been fine.
On paper, that's what the first summer window was, kind of. You know, we brought in too much. I can definitely agree with that. But it's like, you had Cesare Casidi come in. You had Chukwuemeka. You had, you know, these young lads come
the
in.
The problem is that then you had Koulibaly and Dinwiddie as well. Was really bad in terms of Cucurella.
Yeah. Yeah,
Sterling had a bad season.
I liked Cucurella at Brighton, but he doesn't. The problem was he just didn't fit how we wanted to play.
No.
So the talent. I mean, that. But that's been a problem with Chelsea.
And then, do you know what? Actually, Fofana, it's an injury issue, and that should be something flagged because it was already pre-existing at Leicester. But when he had twice, he's a very good player.
Yeah, but yeah. Okay, twice. You've done your ACL. You're 21. You've done your ACL twice.
Yeah, I know, man.
£70 million.
Hey, oh, I feel you, Wes. I feel you, Wes.
Yeah,
ACLs are not a nice one.
No, I mean I can't comment on that. I'm just, you know. I would have gone pro, but I did my ACL at 24. I can't wait for the end of the season going to roll around. Chelsea are going to be, you know, heading down to the championship.
No, we're going to look. We're going to look good by then. We are going to look.
But then
the second half of the season is going
to
be a lot.
Yeah,
more
but I'm just looking forward to all the charity games that happen in the summer. I'm looking forward to that. Can I be honest? Those are my favourite times of year.
I love them.
I love being on the touchline at Wolves. I love, you know, in the summer doing the tournaments.
Oh, yeah, you go for the manager role.
Yeah, I mean, I play a little bit, but yeah. I'm much better on the touchline. That's my home.
Fair.
I'm a trophy winning manager. the fact is, right, if you want me for a season, you know, Imperial Wolf, we did okay. We got cheated out of the league by the IFA because they are the wanky handshake brigade.
Right.
Like it was actually the point where they were like, oh, well, you know, despite the fact that the guys couldn't field a team that we were supposed to play, so they gave us another competitive fixture because it was COVID. Obviously, no one was playing.
Mm.
The other team kicked off about it and apparently weren't supposed to do that. And they told us that all the day before we were set to win the league. And then everyone's heads just went. Because, again, I had a very young team, very young backroom staff.
You got
I was 23, I had a project, and then, you know, it didn't quite work out. So despite it being, you know, amateur slash maybe just under semi-pro level, you know, the way where we were playing, the quality of players we had, you know, there's similarities. I get it. But then that's why I also sit here when I say this, and because I do know me stuff.
Mm.
I do. That's James Ward-Prowse, I was right, okay? Ivan Tony Price,
you were right.
I was right.
You were right if you want to be a West Ham level
I disagree.
Chelsea should have higher aspirations there. I don't look at our midfield and think, I need James Ward-Prowse.
I don't look at that. No, absolutely. Yeah. But then I look at that and go, do you know what? That Nottingham Forest game. You need someone to come off the bench and unlock it? You shove James Ward-Prowse.
Yeah, oh no, he's a squad player. I agree with that.
That's what I mean. It's like when Gini Wijnaldum moved to Liverpool. Yeah. You know, everyone's been like, really? Why are you getting him? Because he's a good player that fits a project.
Just when we like had Deco and Mikel on the bench sort of thing. When you had Lampard, Essien and Ballack.
Yeah, but then you just...
And then you're like, get Mikel on to kill the game.
Yeah.
Have Deco.
That's what I mean. This is what I mean by those. But it's like, you know, they changed far too much, far too quickly. And I'm not going to doubt the intelligence of these guys considering the amount of money they've made in their lives.
Yeah, but not in football at the moment. We've followed football far longer than they have and have a better understanding of football.
I agree with that.
I genuinely do believe that. They might have hired other people that have a better knowledge, but like...
Fooled me.
They're coming into... Yeah, exactly. But they're coming into a new sport. It is new for them.
Yeah, I know. But this is where... Like,
they're as young as this project.
Yeah.
They are part of the project. And they are young. They are learning on the job.
But this is where we're sitting here and we're saying, right, okay, when Roman did the same thing...
But Roman was a football fan.
No, Roman wasn't a football fan.
No, Roman was a football fan. Roman, he was looking at loads of clubs.
Yeah, but he went to the first game he went to... Because this document, first game we went to was when Ronaldo for Real Madrid scored a hat-trick at Old Trafford.
Yeah.
That was like 6 months before he bought Chelsea.
Yeah.
So it's a bit like, okay, like he fell in love with the sport, he appreciated the sport, but he didn't understand it. So he brought in Peter Kenyon, so he brought in Bruce Buck, who kind of had an aspirant understanding of football, but you know, he was a shrewd businessman who appreciated what the sport was. Without, again, I always feel so bad saying it, but there are stereotypes of American owners and Americans in football or soccer in some cases. Right now, what we're looking at for me is a stereotype. What you see is you've seen someone come into the club, muscle their way in, very American, sort of just we're here to make a statement. Do you know what this? It's always sunny, right? Mm-hmm. You know that last episode when they're in Ireland and they're talking about we're American, we're this, we're that. It's like, this is what's happened. It's like, well, this is how we're doing things now. We don't appreciate this. It was a Russian way of doing things. We're not doing it. We're Americans.
Haven't understood, especially because of how much of a fucking mess the whole thing's been, is the willingness to call out previous ownership, being like, oh, when we came, everything was a mess. And you're like, it's September, lads, and I don't see a sponsor on our shirt.
Yeah.
What's that about? What is that about? Why is that a thing?
Yeah.
Why is that a thing? No one else is fucking doing this. I can't remember a club doing this.
I think last year
there was one in the Premier League, but I'm trying to remember.
It was Forest had it.
Forest had it, but a top level club
No.
That sat there priding themselves on how they're operating and slacking off the previous one. I remember this shit.
And Barcelona are the last team I remember before they had UNICEF on the front.
Yeah, but that was out of choice, wasn't it?
That was out of choice. Yeah. To be honest, at this point,
I prefer the kit without. I'm fine with that.
I'd be honest, this season I'd be like, it's September now, we're about to hit October.
What's the point?
It's literally no point. I'd be like, fuck this. Just go for a season without the sponsor, get it sorted for next year. Because it's not like we don't, financially, we should hope. Well, hopefully we don't need the money.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, cool, well, you know, just do it and crack on with the rest of the season. But it's the whole situation that we're in right now. I have no faith. I know it's easy. I know it sounds really pessimistic.
It's understandable, mate. I feel like I'm choosing to at the moment rather than feeling I have it, if that makes sense. I'm looking at some of those young players. I'm like, no, I do trust that you have talent. Not just trust that you have talent. I can see you have talent. So I'm trusting that we'll get there in the end. But not because of them.
No.
Because of those players and because hopefully Poch can get them all ticket. Like, that's how I'm looking at it. But in terms of how they operate, I don't have any. They've done nothing to garner my trust. Like, the only one I can look, even those young players I'm saying they look talented, it's only like Enzo that I can sit there with certainty. I'm like, cool, you got a golden one.
Yeah.
It's like, you paid 105 million for him. You should expect that as well. Yeah. But this is it.
I think the whole situation with Chelsea right now is like they're businessmen. They are not going to change. They're not going to look at this and be like, do you know what? We need to change the model. They're going to stick with this until it's literally on its knees.
Oh yeah, I mean the Potter sacking was however many months too late than it should have been.
Yeah.
And that said all you need to know that they only did that as like a last resort. It wasn't. There's nothing proactive about what they did.
No. No, and that's the issue, and it's like I know it's all very doom and gloom, but it's hard not to be, mate.
It's hard not to be. I've tried to be, especially in that last Villa one. I'm trying to be, you know, see some of the positives, and like I said, I've listed some of the positives, but they concern me because they make me feel like it's not Chelsea. That's a more worrying thing. I think most Chelsea fans can connect to that. In how disconnected they feel to our club. It doesn't feel like our club at the moment. It feels like their toy where they've gone, we're just going to get a load of kids in. Let's see what happens. And you're like, what have you fucking done to my club?
Jose Felicianos, whatever his fucking name is. You know,
Didier said it last year.
Yeah, Didier said it. But it's like this new guy. The more bigger businesses, like you need to, like, if you don't appreciate what you've got, like I understand from a financial aspect.
No, but that's how they're looking. They're looking on pure Excel and they don't understand the culture of the club either.
Well, so it's not even the culture of the club, it's just the sport itself. The sport, but
the Potter hiring is the most clear thing. It's like Tuchel was someone we as fans connected with. Yeah. Even though some people thought by the end it tailed off, and that's fair enough, whatever.
It was tailed off, but
the person he was, it was, he felt Chelsea. He felt the club. He understood the club. He got it.
Whereas last night he made
no sense culturally.
We were saying like last night that Jose first time round and the Tuchel like managerial signings, those were the two, I think, most Chelsea managers.
Yeah, and Conte felt it.
But it's like in terms of like someone who just fitted what everybody wanted.
Yeah.
Like Conte in the second season, he should have been back more than summer.
But it was kind of a case of the wheels falling off. But that first year, Conte felt it. Like he the way he was with the crowd and everything, like that's Chelsea.
Yeah.
And people might be like, oh, you know, that's just showing a bit of passion. But certain clubs just suit certain things. And he was more us. A bit like Mourinho was not United.
I disagree. I think Mourinho was a proper United manager.
I don't know. Ferguson wasn't like a running down the touchline, slagging off players. I don't know. I think Mourinho is a bit more us against the world.
Yeah, but that's why he fitted for United. But yeah, it suited us. But then I think, look, we don't have that. Again, the culture of the club's completely changed.
Yeah.
And it's the appreciation for where we were. Look, that they can turn around and say, we do appreciate where it's like in the summer. You know, I was listening to Felix Johnston, I think his name is, I do apologise, Felix, I've forgotten your second name. But obviously, Felix did a lot of Twitter spaces, and he was talking about how, obviously, because he's well connected with the club, you know, they're saying we do need to bring in older players. We do know we need to bring in older players. Okay, you're saying it, but you're not operating on it.
Mm.
You know, they'll be, they can turn around and say, we do appreciate the culture that Chelsea has. We do appreciate everything. If you appreciate it, you wouldn't have gutted it like you have. You wouldn't have.
No, you would have. I'm in no denial that we actually were in a state of decline, I'd say, since 17-18 with Conte.
I agree.
And I think Edin kind of masked over that. I think Frank did well in that first year, and Tuchel, like, I think we've had a lot of paper over cracks for like a long time. So this was coming in terms of something needed to change in order for us to get back to that top level consistently anyway. Yeah. But it wasn't going to change all at once, and with a load of kids.
No, this is the problem. Like the issue we have now is people saying, "Oh, we need to have the time to, you know, develop and do things." Like, okay,
and we do because they've chosen to go this route.
Yeah,
they didn't have to choose to go.
The problem is the way they're operating is it's a blank slate.
Yeah,
you know, I think it's,
everything's been gutted.
They're looking at it like it's like almost how Newcastle and Brighton are. Newcastle, right before their new ownership came in, was a blank slate. Because they had no money, the way it was falling apart internally and externally, you know, players were doing their ice baths in fucking bins, you know, it's stuff like that. I was like, wow, like that's ridiculous for a Premier League club. And then you had new guys coming to do that. Brighton, League One, League Two, nearly went out of business completely. Tony Bloom's come in, redeveloped the club, put them in a certain way, right? Chelsea Football Club was already an established superpower in football.
Yeah, exactly.
We had that moment. We had that carte blanche with Roman. We had that carte blanche with Ken Bates even.
Mm.
You know, that's when that trajectory started. We hit a certain point. We can't go, oh, fuck this, we're going to get rid of this and go back. That is like 25 years or even more, since the early 90, probably 94.
Yeah.
So we're talking 30 years here, you know. That's a long time.
Mm.
That's a very long time in football and in life. A lot can happen in that time. You know, we've had so many things happen in 30 years historically in life, let alone football. And these guys, again, I feel it feels very stereotypical. Very stereotypical. Muscle in, we're doing it our way. Fuck you, we don't give a shit how this works. I get that. I get that. But at the same time, I'm sorry, guys, it's not how the world works. It doesn't work like
definitely
that.
Not in football, no.
Definitely not in football. And the paper of the cracks, we were a few years away. We all knew that. We are 10 years away from winning anything. And in that 10 years, all these young players we've got, how many are actually still going to be here? That want
well,
to be here,
keep,
by the
you,
way.
You don't start delivering results at some point.
Well, it's a results, game.
Yeah, exactly.
You're not going to, like I've been saying for weeks, you're not going to get the best out of all these young players in 5-6 years' time if they don't start getting the results now.
Yeah, they have to believe in the project and believe in the vision and actually see fruits of it to actually go, no, do you know what? It is worth sticking around here because this will get a lot better.
Yeah.
So this season, it has to, at the moment, it's tough. This is a tough watch at the moment. The results we're getting on a weekly basis, but we have to start seeing some sort of climb because if let's say it is a bit tough the first 6 months and the second half of the season is actually like we're really starting to tick a little bit and we're seeing a lot more results where you're like, oh fucking hell, we were really good today, that looked like a bit more like the old Chelsea. If we start seeing that and we're going into next season, I'm not going to put a place on where we're finishing. I'm just saying if we're ending the season feeling positive and feeling like we really grew into that. That start of the season feels a long time ago now.
Yeah.
That's how, a bit like last season when Tuchel and Conte had their bit against Spurs. Remember at the end of last season, everyone was sitting there going, that feels like 3 years ago with the amount of shit we've been through.
Yeah.
We need that, but we need a reverse effect. We need to be looking at the Forest and Villa loss at home and being like, fucking hell, that feels a while ago. We're a lot better than we were then. That's what we need.
Yeah.
And then in that case, the top players wouldn't want to leave because at least they're seeing then, like, we're only going to get better now. Like, we've been through our shit.
Yeah.
And this could fortify a lot of these players together. It could actually be a catalyst for making these players gel in terms of, at least as a group, they're like, we've had a lot of pressure on our backs. We've been slated by media, slated by fans, etc. And now, we've fucking delivered on the back of it. But
I don't think this Villa loss would be that. I think if it is ever going to happen, it's going to be a humbling at City, which we've got in a few weeks potentially, humbling by Arsenal. It'll be a little run like that. like 2-3 games where you're like, fuck.
But then we've had 2-3 games like this now. We've Forest.
Yeah, but even then, I feel like people are like, oh, it's Forest. Oh, it's just a bad day. Some people are still going, oh, it's just a bad day. The office, we're going to get better. And I know it's not, like, I'm not panicking, look at this going, because it's 5 games in. I'm looking at the past. Well, I'm looking at April 2021 when the club got bought out. 21? No, 22. 22,
yeah.
And 22 when the club got bought out. And I'm looking all the way through now to now. And I'm not seeing anything where I'm going, these guys are learning from their mistakes. It feels like...
No, I agree with that.
It's gone from one end of the spectrum to the other. It's gone from surrounding top bowling league bowlers, surround themselves with football agents who are obviously trying to get their money and being like, we want to get these players. We recommend these guys get these in.
Christopher Vervell.
I feel sorry for him because he's one that they brought in.
No, but I'm saying he came in and he obviously left on his own accord in June or so. And he'd been there 6 months. What did he see that made him went, I'm out?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, what did he see? Because he would have seen a lot in that time and it was enough for him to go, nah. And in December, he saw it as a good idea to join. So what did he, you know what I mean? What did he see in that time?
Well, he was saying there was a lot of miscommunication, wasn't he? You know, it's, again, too many cooks in the kitchen. We've got this transfer strategy team. Okay, why have we got a transfer strategy team? Well, in American sports. Also, this is American sports.
It's an amazing job because you're like, you guys have kind of just bought loads of people that people on FM are rated, like that people talk about on FM.
Yeah.
Like one of the kids on FM. You've gone, right, okay, everyone really young, but who has loads of potential?
Yeah. Like, it's like, would you train them in the players? Like, it's like the same as just the FIFA. You used to do that on career mode in FIFA. You had that, you could just train the players.
And
up.
It's not like, oh, okay, no, but it's all very position orientated. There's like, how many is that? I know obviously Madueke's one. Palmer's kind of another.
Which one, wingers?
Angelo's. I'm just talking about specifically right-sided, left-footed wingers. You've got Palmer, Madueke, Angelo. That Kendry Paith, who's 16 or whatever, looks kind of like that. It's like, so they're all young. They all need a pathway to play football to get better. And you've got 4 of them. But then the other side, you've got Sterling playing on the left and he can play on the right. But then you've got Mudryk. But you don't have like an even balance there. Or you've got that David Washington guy, but you just bought Datro Fofana in January.
Yeah.
And then you've got Jackson, and then you've got Brozier. It's like, I don't really get it, mate.
It's completely illogical. The whole thing is completely illogical. And it's a significant
way. Like, I get what they're doing, but some of the actual actions of what they're doing, like you said, are illogical.
It's there's no balance to it. I'd love to sit down like I've said for a couple of weeks ago. Right, Todd, Bedad, I want you to sit in front of me. Right, you're a businessman. I want you to elevator pitch me what you're doing with the transfers at Chelsea. Okay, this is the aim. Long term portfolio, cool. Do you understand that this long term portfolio doesn't work unless it has the attributes around it at first? Again, like I said in the review, the Alan Titchmarsh analogy. It doesn't have anything around it, and this is where it's going to go wrong.
I'm kind of just hoping it. I'm hoping it goes right. You know.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Anyway, Brighton. That was 25 minutes of me and Tobe just wanting to kill ourselves.
Yeah, it was just therapy session for football.
We're on a Chesterfield sofa as well.
It was needed. It was just like, I just feel a bit lost with them at the moment.
Understatement. But yeah,
who knows what will happen against Brighton. Like I said, I'm not a cup run, like you said, it's not bad. It's not a bad thing to go and win. At the same time, I'm not too bothered if it's with Carabao or whatever. I want them to go and turn up and beat. Who have we even got this weekend?
We've got Fulham on Monday night.
We've got Fulham on Monday night.
Yeah.
Away at Fulham. Go win that.
I mean, we got Fulham, we got Burnley, and then it's the...
Then it starts, yeah.
Then it's the death run. So when we need to get the points on the board... is been and gone now.
Fulham away would feel like a big one though. Like we've said that before, I know with so many results, but my point is just piece together a little bit. Like if you go and beat Brighton in the cup, even if it's against a rested Brighton, you go and beat them, that feels good. Okay, you go and beat Fulham and then you go and beat Burnley. Suddenly it's like, oh, at least we've turned it. And then maybe you fight and you get a draw against an Arsenal or a City and then it can quite quickly evolve.
Yeah. It does feel like
football. Football's a funny game. Football's a very funny game. It can flip very quickly. Yeah. The whole thing can.
I do feel like if we did beat Brighton, it would almost be a little bit. But even like, so even as a rested Brighton, that'll always be that. Yeah, but.
But we won't care. We just need some confidence. Yeah. We need players scoring goals, like those little things.
Yeah, it's stuff like that where it's just proving to be extremely difficult to get that hump off our back.
Yeah.
I feel like when Brighton battered us 4-0 last year at Stamford Bridge,
we lost 2-1 at Stamford Bridge.
Was it 2-1?
Yeah, we lost 4-1 at the MX.
Sorry, 4-1 at the MX.
Pulisic and Sterling at wing back.
Yeah, yeah. Then there was a game where if it was 2-1, we got battered.
Oh, yeah, no, I remember Evan Ferguson could have scored one and whatever. And Ciso scored a screamer, didn't he?
But it's like
unsavable.
It could have been 3 or 4-0. And it feels like that's been a constant nibbling at us because that's where we keep going to get things done. And they've been better than us despite the fact we spent all that money. So if we beat Brighton, there is going to be that. Okay, cool. That's the first bit to deal with. You go get a result at Fulham. Okay. After last year, they had a double over us. That's something. Burnley is just a case of
I just want a credible win because so far, no offense to these, you've got, but like we've only beat Wimbledon and Luton.
Shit, that's depressing.
No, but that's depressing. So even Brighton in the cup, I'm like, that's credible. That takes a bit to beat Brighton. I know AAK Athens just did it, but my point is Brighton are a decent side. Yeah. So just a win against them is like. Nice.
The one thing we could learn from AEK Athens, do you know what Brian don't like?
Low block.
Yeah. Look at that. Bit of physicality.
Yeah, we haven't got it.
Even though that referee was awful in that Europa League game, you know, AEK Athens went full on Greek football. You know, they went, I'm going to run through you.
Plate smashers.
Yeah. What bunch of plate smashers.
Shout out Karisteas from Euro 2004. I had a Karisteas shirt because I went to Greece the summer they won Euro 2004. And you know those fake shirts they do on all the markets? Yeah.
I've got the Egyptian Zidane. The guy that was a guy called Zidane that played for Egypt, didn't he?
That's cool.
I've got that in there.
Nice.
That's fucking sick.
But yeah, shout out. Karisteas bullet header against Portugal.
Blimey.
Euro 2004, man. What a tournament. Super Frank was fucking unreal.
That's the first tournament I kind of remember, to be fair.
Yeah, same. Well, 2002 World Cup, I remember like being at school and they wheeled out the TV early in the morning and then Ronaldinho lobbed Seaman. Well, he didn't, you know, he chipped it over Seaman. He didn't lob Seaman. But
I would have been, I think I would, that was just before I started school, so I don't remember that. Would it have been, 2002. Yeah, I was 97, baby. Despite what people like to think.
87.
Yeah, apparently I'm not 87, baby.
Gary's apparently a fucking 97 baby, to be fair.
Oh, mate, that's nuts. Gary Hayes, he's Benjamin Button. Yeah, he's in reverse, that man.
Yeah.
But yeah, look, overall, look, we get a credible result. We go forward. It'd be a decent, just put out a decent side, get a result. That's what we can ask for, really.
Come on, Chelsea.
Let's have it. But yeah, anyway, guys, potentially we're going to be speaking to Seagull Social.
Hopefully Tom will be, free my guy Tom.
Yeah, three the man then.
Yeah, exactly.
Three mozzarella.
He didn't do nothing, I promise. Yeah, we'll be back with.
Yeah, he'll probably. He
if
might
Tom's not here, him. We'll have our good friend Aaron.
Yeah, Aaron Cheney. He'll be in. To be fair, it'll be Thursday. So if Tom can't make it, we'll get Jordan. I reckon Jordan up on the mic.
Yeah, I reckon we get Jordan on the mic.
We'll get Jordan. We'll just wreck the mic. Psych. You know, we'll be back for our review and then our preview of Fulham. So, guys, if you haven't listened to the pod or it's the first time you listen to the pod, please do us a favour because we've noticed there's not been as many people doing it. Give us a cheeky 5-star review, please.
Smash that 5-star review button.
Exactly. Like your Uber drivers, you know. 5-star, my friend. Give me a 5-star review.
Yeah.
Unlike the one yesterday I didn't tell you on the way to Chelsea, I was in a car crash with an Uber driver. That was fun.
You didn't say that.
No, yeah. He was driving across, you know, going to the Earls Court Road by the station, was looking at his phone.
The Uber driver?
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. And he decided to try and go when his light was red, the others were green, crossing over, and we nearly got hit by a Porsche.
Did you get hit?
No, nearly got hit.
There was no crash?
No, but I went flying into the front seat.
Oh, fucking hell.
I sprained my wrist, and I got a bloody nose for a little bit, which was fun. And then
Jesus Christ.
And then Uber...
You didn't mention this once. No,
I was a bit rat-ass at that point last night, so the pain had dulled. But
Chelsea inflicted a different kind of emotional pain.
Exactly. But then I was Uber, I was like, can I get my money back? They're gone. Oh, no, unfortunately, you know, we'll have a chat with the driver. I'm like, oh yeah, that's really yeah, gonna no, help
you
me,
chat,
isn't it?
You chat with him and you can compensate me, please.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
fair enough.
And they've still not come back to me. So Uber, I'll be having words with you.
Yeah, I mean to pay for a cab journey and walk out with a bloody nose and yeah, sprained wrist is not a,
that was
not great.
No, exactly. But you know, I'm okay. I'm still alive. As much as you know,
sounds like some sort of fake taxi.
You can't keep a good man down.
No,
like John. But anyway,
Big John does all his own stunts.
Yeah, shut up before I come back there and slap your tits.
Yeah.
Anyway, give us a cheeky 5-star review. Unlike I gave that Uber driver. Make sure you tell your mates about the pod. We're not going to say past the pod because I got told off for that yesterday.
Did you?
I did. One of our listeners, he came up to me and said, you need to come up with something different to pass the pod. I was like, I know. I've been saying this to the boys. So if anyone has any ideas.
He hasn't, just to clarify. He hasn't been saying this to the boys. But I did.
But I literally said it every pod. I said, lads, we're doing that again. Really? Every pod.
Yeah, it's quite funny. Just, all right, fine. We'll be back stronger.
Oh, for fuck's sake. There you go. Anyway, guys, thank you for listening. And we'll see you later. Ta-da.